Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. Why don't we join Monsignor Peter Fleetwood for his series of programmes by the title of Why Bother? Staying Catholic Despite It All. This week he speaks to us of Sunday homilies and of people who've coined that expression of sleeping in the Lord. But Monsignor Peter does this only to suggest we delve into scripture readings. But why don't you stay tuned?
Putting people to sleep without anaesthetic is an enlightening experience. Many teachers have done it, and all priests do it sooner or later. Even the best crafted homily can work as a cure for insomnia when people come to church already tired out or exhausted. People who talk about sleeping in the Lord are on the right track. It may just be one of those gifts of God, a short sleep in a peaceful place. But it is unnerving for the teacher or preacher. On bad days, they could be forgiven for asking, "Why bother?" They don't. It's also interesting to do an experiment when there are only a few people present in church. I've done it when I've been sure it would not be taken badly. People have sat through the scripture readings looking polite, or glassy-eyed, or apparently concentrating hard. But when I've asked them what has just been read to them, they have been embarrassed, and very rarely has there been anyone who remembered. There are exceptions, like the remarkable sharing of reactions to the scriptures in the Eucharistic celebrations of communities belonging to the neo-catechumenal way, or intimate celebrations in people's homes, or in small religious communities. But I'm thinking of the average parish, if there is such a thing. Most of the time, most people seem hardly to hear the scripture readings, and yet they're like a box of treasure. Sometimes it's possible, even wise, to omit one of the Sunday readings, especially at a Mass for children or when sacraments are being celebrated during the service. This way, it is possible to help people focus on the readings by giving them less reason to fall asleep. But tiredness and distractions are only part of the story. I know many people who go very frequently to church who are mystified by the scripture readings. They are the ones who really have a right to ask, "Why bother?" because they are rarely helped to understand what they're listening to. Occasionally, a sympathetic priest or deacon or a catechist will have opened their eyes to grasp the good news in a particular reading. But the real challenge is to catch people's imagination in a way that would make them want to hear the Word of God every week. There must be a key to every box of treasure, and there is surely a key for every person to understand and value and even love the sacred scriptures. Wise people have told me there is a reason why we no longer refer to sermons, but to homilies. A sermon is usually for making a point about morality, a stirring speech meant to drive home a point the speaker thinks his or her hearers need to absorb. But a homily is more challenging, both for the person who delivers it and for those who listen to it. A homily is meant to help everyone to discover the good news in God's Word. That is not as straightforward as many people think. It is a way of linking words written hundreds and thousands of years ago to the languages and cultures of the people who hear them today. The person giving the homily has to be faithful to the original, but has to open the box of treasure for everyone to see inside. I want to make a suggestion for any of you who feel bewildered by the scripture readings. There is no need to be an expert, but sooner or later you have to crack the code. Here is one way of doing it. Read the Gospel according to St. Mark. Why? Because it is the shortest and simplest of the Gospels, and it is full of encouraging little gems. Mark's Gospel contains the phrase all of us can make our own. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." That captures the way many of us feel a lot of the time. And in chapter 9, you will find what some people think is the key to understanding it all, the episode where Jesus cures a blind man. But the odd thing is that the cure is not instantaneous. At first, the man sees other people, but they look like trees. It takes a while for him to see properly. Now, doesn't that ring bells with your own experience? When I began my time as a parish priest, I told people I could promise them only one thing, that by the time I left, they would share my love of the scriptures. I think many of them did, but I wish I'd thought of using Mark's gospel.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who's currently working as parish priest of St. Joseph's, Blundell Sands, in the Liverpool Archdiocese in England. Our thanks go to him. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.